Let's get our main passage. 2 Kings 20, verses 1 and 2. Robert Chavez, if you'll get that. 2 Kings 20, 1 and 2. Then if we can get 2 Kings 20 and verse 3. Anthony, if you'll get that. And then lastly, 1 Samuel 17, 36. Trevor Wright, 1 Samuel 17. And verse 36. I'm going to start with a question, and that is, what does it mean to get a hold of God? I'm going to ask that also to you. What do you think that means, to get a hold of God? We say it, don't we? Need to get a hold of God on that. Yeah, Anthony?
In prayer, I try to get the mind of God. Try to think along the same lines, pray for the same things that you would want to see happen in a particular event.
Okay, so something you want to see God do in a particular event, he's saying, yeah?
Any kind of good intentions, or like...
Okay. On your side, I guess. Oh, getting, you say on his, on your side?
Yeah.
Yeah, getting God on your side on something, okay. Yeah, Kenny?
You prayed about something more than once, just you're like... want this to happen.
Yeah. Okay, you're
or like maybe spend a certain amount of time like, God, I need this. Maybe like 5 minutes of prayer, like dedicate this to that.
Okay, dedicated prayer. All right, yeah.
Getting guidance on something or finding out specifically what God's will is for the situation.
Okay, getting some, finding out what God's will is for something, yeah.
Laying a hold of his promises.
Okay, laying a hold of his promises about something, yeah.
Getting in connection with God.
Okay, getting in connection with God in your prayer life. Yeah.
Getting access to God's power.
Okay, and okay, getting access to his power, yeah.
I mean, just like a dedication, like fasting, prayer, whatever it takes, I'm not going to move till I get an answer.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Just settling, not going to move till I get an answer. Yeah, all of these could be parts of it. And I want you to know that as I thought about this, is that was the question, what does it mean? There have been times in my ministry where my pastor's direction, I called him about something. I called and it's a question about ongoing, repeated issue. It's a, something that I'm recognizing is unacceptable. It's just whatever that looks like, and I'll give some examples. But he, Pastor Greg, would say, what you need, Jesse, is to get a hold of God on that. And there will be times in your ministry when you will need to do this, where you will need to lay a hold of God, getting a hold of God in an area of life. And I want to think about the practicality of this idea. Let's read 2 Kings 20, verses 1 and 2.
In those days, Hezekiah became mortally ill. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amos, came to him and said, "This is what the Lord says, put your house in order, for you are about to die. You will not recover." Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord.
Okay, so let's talk about this, getting a hold of God. Let's talk first about beyond yourself. There will be times in ministry where you are going to need something beyond yourself. Okay, as men of God, as disciples, one day as pastors, pioneers, maybe missionaries, etc. You're going to encounter seasons where you need just help beyond your own labor. You are doing everything you can. You are, you're keeping the calendar filled. You're looking ahead. You're going to need more than your own effort in things that you're doing. It's going to come to these times. It's like, it's not a planning issue. It's not that I didn't think this through. It's, I need something beyond myself. And in our passage, we look at Hezekiah. It's sickness. The help that he needs, it's not going to be an amount of work or effort or planning that's going to prolong his life. He's at the point of death. some reason, and it doesn't give us all these details, but his health is compromised. He's terminal. It's the news that this, get things in order because this life is finishing for you, and you're translating into eternity. In those moments, you need something beyond yourself. So for us, it may be fruitfulness. Right? We need help beyond ourselves when it comes to fruitfulness. It's one of the things we were talking about in the concert ministry, is that it's not, you know, we need more professionalism, or we need better lighting, or better sound, or better... And it's like the production value. If we can bring the production value up, then we'll be fruitful. No, it's a miracle. Salvation's a miracle. That response is a miracle. Conversion is a miracle. So in fruitfulness, we need something beyond ourselves. And sometimes you encounter a resistance in that. I remember being in Rochester and calling Pastor Greg because our converts were not lasting beyond 6 months. Great converts, anywhere from 8 to 12 brand new converts. God is moving in their lives. I'm getting videos sometimes where getting videos that they're pouring their alcohol down the drain. I have a video of a girl smashing pills. I have a video of a girl breaking a vape. And it's like, man, these are solid converts. They're getting it. They're growing in God. They're soul winners. They're evangelizing. They're bringing people in. But then at that 6 month mark, for whatever reason, they disappeared. They moved. They went to another church. They went back to their old lifestyle, whatever that was. Immediately, we just win a brand new batch, and it was this cycle and this flow. And I remember finally, I'm identifying, and it's every 6 months. I called Pastor Greg. I said, "What else do we do? We're evangelizing. We're fasting. We're praying in Jesus' name and in the name of Jesus. You know, we're doing everything." we know to do. And he said, I don't know. You're going to have to get a hold of God on that. So how do you do that? May be an issue of dominion. I remember being in Rochester and, I called Pastor Greg and it's like, people are not getting filled with the Holy Ghost. And these were people that had maybe grown up in church. People that had been there for some time, and the previous pastor had removed the expression of the Holy Ghost in services, from the praise to tongues and interpretation, any kind of evangelist that would come in, and eventually they hadn't had one by the time I got there in over 2 years. But any evangelist with any kind of gift ministry, he would negate and then ultimately just stopped inviting. So people are not getting filled with the Holy Ghost. I can get converts filled. I can get, brand new people filled, but there are people, they need the Holy Ghost, and it's not, I'll pray for them, they want it, but it's not happening. And Pastor said, there might be a number of factors contributing, but you need to get a hold of God. Might have a financial need where you, again, money is spiritual. Pastor Wayman has always said, it's supernatural. There is a spiritual dynamic to money. And in ministry, and remember, and I've shared this story, calling Pastor Greg, we're short on rent. We're $2,000 short, and we've got, rents due, Friday. And I'm thinking, it's going to be a simple, we'll transfer some money over. But that's not what he said. He said, Jesse, what you need is a miracle. You need to get a hold of God on that. So here, this is something that you will find yourself in. You will have to wrestle these things through. It might be a ruling spirit. In Santa Fe, I remember just calling Pastor Gray. It's like, man, this dealing with this issue of immorality, this issue of immorality, and this issue of immorality. And it was just like, my goodness, what is going on? And he's giving me guidance, and he's giving me revelation and wisdom and how to counsel and how to navigate and all these different factors But then one day, I'm calling again. It's another issue of immorality. We're talking a very short window of time. And he said, Jesse, the size of your church and the amount of immorality you are dealing with is unnatural. You need to pray, get a hold of God, and pray through your church. Okay, so these are the answers to these things, these issues, these circumstances, these battles that are beyond yourself. It's not that you're not doing what you need to do. It's not that you aren't planning. It's not that you aren't recognizing the issue, recognizing the opposition. These were times where when he said, you need to get a hold of God, that I needed to know how to do that. It wouldn't be one of those things, you know, that moment where we had to get our brains activated there, right? It was instinctive. It was already in me, and it needs to be in you. You will need to know this. So let's talk secondly then about focused faith. So again, Hezekiah is faced with an issue, this news that is beyond himself. He cannot answer his health problem on his own. And we do see there is a verse in our context of our passage of Hezekiah's prayer. And it says, oh Lord, you know, remember I've lived for you, and you know, I'm a pretty good guy, I think, you know. But that's the one verse that's documented. Okay, but at the end of the day, what was he praying about? I don't want to die. I need a miracle. I need you. This is what I've been told. God, you have sent this message, but it can be different. I think he was focused on his healing. He needed a miracle. It was on the focus of that prayer. It was about health, was about life. And when you recognize a need, that becomes the focus of your prayer. Here is where I need God to move. Some of you, you're touched on that in your answers. And this is a focused fight. It's aimed at a specific thing. So first, you need to identify what it is that you need. Right? In Rochester, what is it that I needed in that arena of fruitfulness? I need converts to last. I need converts to make it. I need converts to get the revelation. I need converts to last longer than 6 months. I need converts to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I reject the curse of barrenness. I reject it. That is unacceptable. God, that is not your plan. I claim John chapter 15 and verse 5. We will see fruit. Fruit that will remain. Fruit that will abide. Fruit that will endure. Right? I'm getting a hold of God. It's focus. I recognize what it is that I need. And isn't that what we see throughout Scripture? Hezekiah would be his healing. Exodus, in the book of Exodus, we're all wondering, what is that noise? I think they're putting up the sails out there. So that's probably what that is, hammering on those sails. Anyway, for us, is that in Exodus, they identified need. As the children of Israel are moving through the desert, it's, what do you need? Well, we need escape. We're facing the sea, and the army of Egypt is behind us. We need escape. We need water. The waters at Marah are bitter, and we need that to be cleansed. We need food. Right? So whatever it is, they identify what it is you need, and that focus becomes their prayer, becomes identified. The second thing, not only do I need to identify what you need, the second thing is, what is the source of your focus? So if this is what I need, how am I going to get what I need? Who is going to provide? And our source needs to be God. Okay? Our source needs to be God. I remember when I called Pastor Greg, and in my mind, honestly, right? And this was within the first, 9 months of being there, that we're not going to make it. The rent is crazy expensive in Santa Fe. You know, the church was not very large at the time, with great givers, just there was a deficit. And honestly, in my mind, the source of my financial need was the Prescott congregation. That I would call pastor and he would. That wasn't the source of my need. God is the source of that need. God called me there to that place. God dealt with me and sent me out, and I took over that, and God was totally involved in that. So if God did that, he's going to help me. And that's what pastor helped me to recognize. Right? Prescott's not the source to your need. It is God. And that's why I said, you need to get a hold of God. In our passage, verse 2, then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. He didn't seek the physicians, he didn't seek other prophets, he knew the answer to this need, to what is beyond myself. I need to get a hold of God. I need to get his attention. I need to get God involved in this, because that is the source of where my answer is going to come from. Right? And how often, whether that be in money that people do this, if that's in fruitfulness, again, in the concerts, what happens is we can fall into narratives. Well, we're just, not really seeing much happen because, well, we're downtown. We're downtown Prescott. It's the bar scene. And yet, when the focus has changed, we haven't moved locations yet. And yet we're seeing things happen.
Yes.
Right? It's like, because that's not the issue.
Yes.
The source is God.
Yeah.
The source isn't location. The source isn't demographics. The source is God. And so here in that, you have to begin to recognize in your own life the source of your needs. You got to put that on God. Turn to Jesus. In those, third is then you need to stand on truth. Okay, so I've identified my need. I know the source is God, who's going to answer it. And now I'm going to stand on God's truth. What does God say about it? What is his word on this need, on this issue? What are his promises about this? What is his opinion on it? Like I said, in Rochester, with the converts not making it. No, John 15 says differently.
Yeah.
And I refuse to settle for anything less than that. And I'll be honest, there were days. It's not like it was like, you need to get a hold of God and demand there was one prayer meeting. No, there was another cycle of 6 months. But then, there are people still in church today. Men who are pursuing ministry. Couples that are now raising their children in church because we got a breakthrough. And there were some days where I left prayer like, we're going to do this. We're going to see it. God's going to move. And there were other days like, yeah, I don't know. I think I'm just starving myself for no reason. But I'm getting a hold of God. And I can't tell you, there wasn't one thing I did different. It's not like I outreached one more 15-minute window on Saturday. And that's what. It's not like I prayed a little bit more. Not like I fasted another day. It's just simply getting a hold of God and getting a hold of his truth. Getting a hold of his promises. Right? In dominion and people not getting filled with the Holy Ghost, I said, God, this isn't your will. You said, go into all the world and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and that they would be filled with the Holy Ghost. That is your plan. Repent and be baptized and be filled with the Holy Ghost. That's what Peter declared, because that's what you taught. That's what you said. Right? Paul goes to Ephesus and, have you heard of the Holy Ghost? We didn't know there was such a thing. Do you want it? Yes. And they all get filled and they're prophesied. That's the pattern. So that is what you have said, God. It is unacceptable that people are not getting filled. Even in the financial. God, you're going to support your work. You care about this church. And you know what? In that one, yeah, it was, I called it Monday. Rent's due Friday. We have one window. One Wednesday. And I got a hold of God. And in came Dr. Mills, a dentist, and paid up on his time. Threw in 6 checks, if I remember right. Wow. That put us above what we needed. And from that moment forward,
amen.
We never had to call Prescott again in all of our ministry. Because you have to be able to get a hold of God and say, God, you said you would provide. That I should not be anxious about tomorrow. That the Gentiles worry of these things. Food, clothing, shelter. But you provide. If I'll seek first the kingdom of heaven, then you will see that all these things are taken care of. Right? You've got to bring God's truth in. But I got to tell you, if you're going to do that, it has to be in you. The word of God has to be in you.
Amen.
That's why we read. And sometimes guys are like, well, I don't always understand what I read. Well, but when you're getting it in you, sometimes when you face, you'll be surprised how much is actually in you. Because the Bible says, I will bring to remembrance the things which I have spoken. The Holy Ghost reminds you. Sometimes it's in your focused prayer. You identify what you need. You're making God the source. And then in that, there is Holy Ghost inspiration of things. That you begin to pray. That you begin to claim. It's a focused contending is what it is. And it's warfare. It's warfare. Prayer is warfare. And that is where you are going to find many, many of your breakthroughs is in that time. You are changing the spiritual atmosphere. You're changing and breaking strongholds and things that have been at work. It's like Moses as Joshua goes into battle. And Moses says, you go into battle, ready the people, gather some men. I'll go to the top of the hill. And I'll hold the staff. It's a picture of prayer. I'll hold the staff up. And as he's holding it, they are prevailing and they're winning against the enemy. They're conquering it. But Moses begins to tire. And as he becomes weak of holding that up, as time is going on, the Bible says as that staff begins to drop, the enemy begins to prevail over God's people. But Aaron and Hur put a stone under Moses and hold up his arms, lifting up now together in prayer, and they conquer the enemy. That's prayer. It's warfare. Mm-hmm. We're engaged in that battle. And that's what we're talking about this morning, in getting a hold of God. Think about Daniel as he prays and asks for an understanding and a revelation in a vision. Finally, an angel comes to him as he's fasting and contending and praying and speaks to him and says, the moment you prayed, the answer was sent, but there was war in the heavenly. There was war taking place, and the prince of Persia, that is a demonic entity, withstood and resisted. But as Daniel is praying, as he's fasting and contending, there is breakthrough. They prevail over the enemy, and he gets his answer. That's what we're involved in, guys. It's much deeper than just what you see on the physical. It's much more than what you're just going through in the moment. It's a spiritual battle. And so this is focused faith. Let's close. Let's talk about remembrance. So when you are in a time like this, there needs to be some memorial victories. Okay, Hezekiah, remember. Let's read 2 Kings 20 and verse 3.
Remember, O Lord, how I have always been faithful to you and have served you single-mindedly, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly.
Okay, remember, O Lord. New King James Version says, remember now. He is remembering. You know, this morning, I can tell you right now, I have a memory of everything I just talked about. Those are memories of battles and memories of breakthrough. I have a memory. When I encounter oppositions, I will remember. I know I can bring things to God, and I will make mention of his involvement in my life. God, I remember how you helped me in Rochester. I remember how you helped me in Santa Fe. I remember how you helped me when I was on staff. I remember how you helped me as a disciple working with new converts at the very beginnings of my discipleship. And these are reference points. They're memorials for those future battles, for those future areas. 1 Samuel 17, 36.
Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defiled the armies of the living God.
Okay, here is David speaking. And what is he telling Saul? Right, that there is a faith in him. What is the focus faith? As everyone is paralyzed in fear, he looks and he comes on the battlefield and says, what? Who is this guy? Like, guys, he's a nobody. He's defying God. He's coming. He's cursing. And so he's, I'll fight him. People are like, hey, David said he'll fight him. You know, let's watch him die. Right? And so he goes to Saul. And Saul's like, good on you, kid. But this man is a man of war. Tear you to pieces. What does David say? Yeah, but you don't know my battles.
Yeah. Wow.
You don't know what I've experienced. I've killed a lion. It wasn't a baby lion. I've killed a lion. I've killed a bear. And I know that the God that helped me there is going to help me here. And this, what he's saying about this uncircumcised Philistine, what he's saying is, he's not of covenant. He doesn't have the same blessing we have. He doesn't have God on his side like we do. Right? And there's times where in ministry, you're going to have people standing in the way. Standing in the way of maybe your building. Standing in the way of your ability to minister in your city. Standing in your way. But I have God on my side. I have God with me. He's going to help me, and he's going to turn this around. So in it, you need to have a memorial victories. In every fight, I can remember, but in every fight, will you be able to remember? And you're going to need that. God, you helped before in this area. and you can help me again.
Right.
Right? When I was in Santa Fe, I would reference the memorials in Prescott. But God, you did it in Prescott. You're the same God. You can do it here. And in going to Rochester, God, you're the same God. You helped me in Santa Fe. You helped me in Prescott. Coming back into Prescott, I still, God, you helped me in Rochester. You helped me in Santa Fe. I saw what you did in my discipleship. You can do it again. You've helped me in this arena. You can help me again. God, you helped me in the past. I've never encountered what I'm facing now, but because you helped me in the past, and because miracles are transferable, I know you'll help me here. Yeah. Again, that's remembering. That's pulling on those past victories. God, you helped someone else in this same area. You helped someone else with this same battle. You can help me. Was Pastor Greg's famous prayer, God, in the arena of healing, you don't love Harry Hills more than me. And you know, that stuck with me. Because there were things that I didn't have memorials for. But I heard my pastors talk about it. God, you helped Pastor Wayne. God, you helped Pastor Greg. God, you helped my brethren. You can help me. Right? Maybe you don't have the memories, but others do. This is why testimonies are wonderful. And so when you can remember, that's going to help you in the future. So with that, get breakthroughs now. In your discipleship, while you're undercovering, while there isn't an atmosphere and a facilitating for you to develop and grow, get those now. Get miracles today. So that you can apply them tomorrow and you can get a hold of God when it's needed. Mm-hmm. All right, let's open it up for some questions. Yep.
Is there a spiritual difference between just when God's bringing that memory to your brain of like, I remember when God moved in this? Is there like a spiritual, is there a difference that I need to actually go out and pray that? I need to out loud speak that?
Well, what it does is it cultivates your faith, right? So you are identifying what you need, you're making God the source, you're standing on his truth, but then in remembering, you're stirring that faith. What was the faith for that then? Right? And it rekindles it. And just like Paul wrote to Timothy, fan into flame the faith that is in you. Sometimes by rehearsing it, that's what we're doing. So that's what creates that difference. Yeah.
Thank you.
Aya?
You said the miracles are transferable. What is that like?
Yeah, good question. So David, when he says, I have fought the lion and the bear, and I know God can help me with Goliath. So I've never fought Goliath, I've never fought a giant, but I have fought these other giants, right? So it's transferable, yeah. So if you have a breakthrough in an area, maybe let's say for example, you need a breakthrough in finances. Well, I know you've given me a breakthrough in fruitfulness. God, if you can help me there, then you can help me here, right? So that's what that means, that it's transferable, yep.
I've got an honest question. Did you hesitate to call pastor after hearing, I don't know, you need to get a hold of God yourself?
No, not at all. And again, because, number one, because there's such a file of practical wisdom, right, is you know, those instances are pretty much it. Where it was, you got to get a hold of God. But overall, there's such practical guidance and wisdom and direction that Pastor Greg gives us. Then, when you guys, it seems like this would never be me. Like, you think, when I get out there, of course I'll call my pastor. You have to fight that. You have to fight whatever it is, whether it's your pride, whether it's your insecurity. You know, you're going to have to fight that because you need your pastors when you're out there. And so in it, Tony, there was such a file of practical wisdom that these were just sometimes where, yeah, there isn't an answer. You just got to, you need a miracle. You need to get a hold of God. And then secondly, no, it wasn't anything that caused the hesitation or like, oh, great, now what am I going to do? Because I know God, which is why you need a relationship with God. Which is why I'm saying at the end here, you need to get your own breakthroughs today. You need to get your own miracles, because when he says, you're just going to have to get a hold of God on that. Okay, I know how to do that, and I have reference points. I have memorials, and I can fan into flame that faith for whatever it is. And in each one of those, we saw it. In Rochester, like I said, there are people saved to this day. They're coming on 5 years of salvation. Praise God for that. Where we couldn't get before. And we saw that same thing in, these are one example, but the same thing in Santa Fe. The same thing in Prescott as a disciple. When I heard Pastor Greg say, if you can get your congregation 10% new converts, you begin to feel the beginnings of revival. 15%. So at the time, you know, I'm listening to that. I'm like, all right, so we need 60 new converts. And I want to feel that. I want to experience that. And man, guys, I'm not, my memory, the record, we're on staff. We began to, well, before that, we began to see some incredible breakthroughs. I shared in one of the testimonies of the concert ministry that it seemed like every convert, I want to thank Pastor Tim, or Tim at the time. I want to thank Tim Miller. I want to thank Yesenia Miller. I want to thank Tim and Yesenia. I want to thank Tim, San and Tim. You know, it's just like every convert. And we began to see this breakthrough. And it continued with now Pastor Angel. And then we came on staff. By the time we came on staff, we're seeing momentum going. We're having frequent Friday night outreaches. I mean, there's so much happening. We had 68 converts coming to church. We were sending out 4 vans at a time, disciples going and picking up new converts. And bringing back van loads of new converts. How many of you remember that? Right? Yeah. Because I heard something and I said, I want that. So now I get out in the field. And it wasn't like it just happened. We fought for it. We were laboring. We were following up. But in it, I get out. It's like, God, you did it. I've seen it. I know it. I've never seen full-on revival, but I like that. Right? And so in it, Tony, I had a file. It wasn't discouraging to hear that because I knew exactly what memorials to take to. Okay? Yeah, good question. Yep.
Okay, so first off, in order to gain breakthrough, just practically, do you have to know where in the Bible it says it? Or can you just be like, God,
well,
I know you did this in the Bible. I know this is
sure.
The story of it.
And it may start there, Anthony, but I remember Pastor Greg talking about his prayer lists with scriptures. And people go, oh, can you send me those scriptures? You know, oh, I need that breakthrough. Can you send me your list of scriptures? But he says, I can do that, but it's got to be yours. He owns those for himself. And they're connected to his experiences and his wrestlings through and finding breakthrough. So it was one of those things that when I heard him say he had lists of prayer and scriptures that I began to make my own. And so you wrestle it through, and you know, it might start with, God, I know your word says somewhere in those 66 books, but find them, write them down, and claim them. Bible, yeah, very good. Is there a hand back to you? Yeah, Matt.
In the battle against the Amalekites, when Moses was lifting up that staff, and, you know, he became tired and weak, and that began to drop. The fact that Aaron and Hur were there, was that something that he was responsible to have in place? Or what does a pastor do when he can feel that weight is beginning to drop and you know, whether or not he has disciples or people to step in.
Well, let's say on the first hand, you're pioneering and you don't have that fully yet, disciples. But the Bible says, and David strengthened himself in the Lord. So you, and I did a Serious Men lesson some time back on strengthening yourself in the Lord. You have to have that ability where maybe there aren't those around you that can lift you up. Can you strengthen yourself? But then secondly, that's why we send out couples. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's why...
Aaron and her.
Yeah, see? It was Aaron and her. Yeah. But in it is your wife. Yeah. You know, when you have a praying wife, my goodness, there is no greater treasure. I am so grateful. My wife, I know she prays for me every day.
Wow. Yeah.
And that, you need that. Because when you're like, I'm done, your wife can encourage you. And when she's feeling discouraged, you can encourage her. Pastor Greg's joke, hopefully both of you aren't discouraged. But in it, so there's, can you strengthen yourself? That's why we send out couples. And then thirdly, is you are training disciples. So if it's in a new convert setting, you know, and you're working with them and you're investing in them and you are giving them, a disciple isn't just someone that one day says, Pastor, I want to preach. Okay, you're my disciple. That disciple means learner. You're just teaching them how to live. And as they hear you pray and as they hear you in your service as they're coming, and let's pray for Pastor Greg and Lisa in Prescott, Arizona, our mother church. They're hearing, we pray for his pastor. You guys should pray for my pastor.
Very good.
Mm. Right?
Yeah.
They begin to connect those dots where you don't have to say, let's pray for them and please pray for me. You know? And when they hear you in those prayer meetings, lifting up your pastors, they're going to go, I agree with that. Yeah, Pastor Greg. You know what, God? Let that be for my pastor too. Mm-hmm. They begin to get a heart for that. Then lastly, then, in when you have disciples, is I would involve them. Just like I'm involving you in things, or just like Pastor Greg has involved us in going and praying through the sanctuary, in praying at the front doors, in praying through 180. We're teaching and involving. This is what we need to expect, because what we're seeing is unacceptable. And you're training them in that to get that warfare approach in prayer. So those would be the different levels and ways you do that.
Okay.
Yep. Let's get Trevor here.
So every prayer you say is answered, but it's met with a blockage or a hindrance.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, when we get discouraged, we give up, you know, it's probably because we didn't contend for it. And so what you're saying is we need to fight for every prayer that we need.
Yeah.
Right?
It's not that, you know, it's not, let me say it this way. Sometimes people give up too early.
Yeah.
Right? And miracles were just around the corner. Miracles, the breakthrough was, I've had people where it's like, Pastor, I'm giving up. It's like, oh, just a simple encouragement. And boom, like the next day, it's like, man, and I was ready to give up.
Yeah.
Right? So in it is sometimes it's too early to give up. So, yeah, Nathan.
Earlier in 2 Kings, there's a story of Elisha and Naaman, and Elisha tells him, you need a miracle from God, and he gets angry that he has to dip himself in the river. And then now, I've heard people with the that they need a miracle or need to lay a hold of God, and they reject that. Why do people reject the fact that the only thing they can have is a miracle or lay a hold of God?
Yeah, because again, that's their view of God. That's their opinion of God. God is unable to. Right? Or that's just wishful thinking. Right? I took over a situation where that was the pastor's wife approach on a lot of things was, yeah, but that's just wishful thinking. You need to get back in school. You need to, and it's like I step into a church where there's a lot of people in debt because they have student loans and they try to start businesses that fell through because believing God is just wishful thinking. Mm-hmm. So in it is there is a balance in that, of course, but at the end of the day, it comes back to what I talked about, the source. They don't view God as the source. no, there's got to be some other way, right, that this could happen, right? Yep.
How are you able to remember things so clearly and vividly? Is it that you're writing things down, keeping like a log or a diary somewhere, or is it because you've rehearsed these things so many times?
I would say that's more it, Devin, is that I rehearse it. I absolutely rehearse it. And then, of course, I do document, too. You know, I was speaking with someone recently, and their child had been dealing with a rash that kept appearing, and they said, we had prayed, and it went fully away, but then it came back. I mean, what would that be? And I said, this is the, typically of rashes, these three areas that we've identified is witchcraft, word curses, or soulish prayers. And gave some explanation. We pray together. We rebuke that. As I said, sometimes it's a fight. And they testified. We prayed that way. Gone. No issue. And so in that, I note that. I'm documenting that. That's a breakthrough. That's a miracle. That can fit in a healing crusade. That can fit in, you know, just the file of that testimony of rashes and what we commonly see and etc. You rehearse it, and so in it, it sticks with you. Yeah, yeah.
And is there, I guess, because I remember hearing Pastor Greg talk about a guy in New Zealand that was there in the early days with him and heard things, like, I didn't see things the way that you saw them. Is there a dynamic to that as well, where if you will write things down, God will help you to be able to see them correctly?
Yeah, absolutely. Is when you write them down, that's testimony, right? What did God tell Moses? Right, put this in the ark of the testimony. What does that testify to? It testifies to God, to who he is, right? And that's where they had the rod that budded, the manna, you know, they kept a bowl of it. So that testifies who God is. Write this down, God tells Moses. Write this down and put it in the book of testimony. Who's a testifier? It testifies of God. So yes, we begin to rehearse that. We begin to lay a hold of that. We can say, God, this is who you are. That helps us see him in the miracle. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
When you were depending for your converts to get filled with the Holy Ghost, were you praying over them and they just weren't getting filled? Or were they just...
No, they wanted to be filled. They were not getting filled. So I would pray for them. Evangelists would pray for them. And like I said, many of these had been for a time under a ministry that was removed the expression of the Holy Ghost and spoke against it, you know. And so in Pastor Greg saying you need to get a hold of God for it, is I began to pray over my altars, pray over the pulpit. I would pray through, and those who were not getting filled, most people generally sit in the same place, and I'd lay hands. God, let them be filled with the Holy Ghost. They need your power. Lifting them up by name, contending for them. And let me think here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I can think right now of 6, 7. That got filled, and it was just, and each got filled a different way. Some got filled in a sermon. Some, I gave one couple the book Spiritual Power. While reading it, they both got filled with the Holy Ghost. And so just different ways that it happened, but they got filled. They're in all in church today.
And so if a convert doesn't necessarily want to get filled, in this case, a couple converts that we're working with right now, there is a third person coming with them who discouraged
sure.
them about that. And
yeah.
So We have prayed and contended and even given them the book Spiritual Power, but they both seem like they're just okay with what they have
sure.
now.
Yeah.
And so we know how much it helps us and how powerful it is. But we try the same things even though they don't want to get filled yet.
Sure.
Yeah,
but it's got to be a revelation, right? Is what it's got to be. You know, when Paul says, you know, have you been filled with the Holy Ghost? You know what that? What does that mean? If it's from God, we want it. That's revelation. That's appetite. That's desire. So in it, to get a hold of God. Right? Just continue to pray. You got to pray them through that. Yeah. God, give them a revelation. Give them a desire for it. Right? This is your will. Right? This is the promise of the Father. Right? There's a lot to that. Yep. Pray them through it. Very good. All right, gentlemen. Praise God. We'll stop right there and look forward to a tremendous time.